you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10, and boy, we've been preaching out of Mark for 2 years. I think we started a Mark series there, and we've covered this in it, but and it may seem familiar to you because it's not been too long since we were in this text, but maybe you'll hear something today that you didn't hear last time or maybe didn't pick up on. But just been studying on this here the last few days. And this morning especially, I got up early and was in God's Word, and just so many things were flooding in. And, you know, you want to say everything, but you just can't say it all. And so we just trust the Lord to guide us in everything that He would like to have said in our messages. And that's the only way we can do it. Anytime we try to do it in our own power, we mess everything up. But here in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 46, Mark 10 and 46, the Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried, 'The more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." I want to preach for just a few minutes this morning on the message I've titled, "Blind Faith." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word this morning. I pray that you help us as we go through this text and expound upon it. Lord, that everything that we do and say today will be glorifying your holy name and not ours. Lord, keep us out of the flesh and in your word, and may you receive the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you you find this account of Jesus here healing this blind man, the Bible calls him blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. It's in all three of the synoptic gospels. Synoptic just meaning simply the same view. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptics. The Bible doesn't use that word, but man uses that word to show that all three of those gospels kind of follow the same pattern, the same view. There's a few differences in there, but they're all aligned together. John is not considered a synoptic. John is kind of often on a different way of introducing us to Christ, other than the way that the other Gospels did. But all the Gospels are written with a specific audience in mind. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I think it's good that you know that, you know, the Bible originally was written for the Hebrew people, you know. But there's books in the Bible, in the New Testament. The Old Testament, of course, was mainly all for the Hebrew people. But when you get to the New Testament, you have a larger listening audience. And so these gospel writers, being inspired by God to pin down these words that God has told them to write, are directing the message toward certain audiences. For example, in Matthew was written to a purely Jewish audience that were living in the area of Judea around Jerusalem. Everything that he writes about is centered right there, and it's all pointed toward the Jews. Mark, as we just read from, is written more to the Romans, to a Roman culture. It was written in Greek, and it was written to a Roman culture, probably to those that were living in Rome at the time. And Luke was written to also a Gentile audience. And so, and you know Luke, the physician, he traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys and wrote the book of Acts as well, or was the penman of the book of Acts. God wrote the Bible, but men, being inspired by God, penned down the words. And then, but John was written on to a broader audience. You could really say John's gospel is for all. even though they all are for all. But John's is focused on a large audience, and it's focusing on Jesus being the Christ. And John is the only gospel, by the way, that actually comes out and says that Jesus is God. The other writers don't do that. Mark almost seems to shield the fact that he is the Messiah. It's alluded to, but it's not really come out and said forthwith like it does in the other gospels. But John, his gospel is to allow people to know who Christ is so that men can be saved. And not that they can't be saved reading the other gospels, of course. But you can take the gospel of John, and you may see this. I believe we've got some booklets down here. It's the gospel of John and Romans together that we give out. And if you take those two books of the Bible, you can get such a clear and deep understanding of who Jesus is, why he is the Savior, why you need him as your Savior, and the steps to being saved. And so you can take those two books of the Bible, if you had nothing else, and someone could get saved from just reading those and understand a clear understanding of the gospel and who Christ was. Well, this portion of Mark that we just read, Mark 10, 46 through 52, this is, other than the healing of Malchus's ear, you know, the soldier that Peter cut his ear off and Jesus reached down and restored his ear. Other than that, this is the last recorded miracle of Jesus up to the crucifixion. So it's very fitting that of a ministry of around 3 1/3 years, earthly public ministry. Now, we don't know what all Christ did those first 30 years, but I'm sure he did wonderful things that are just not recorded. I believe one writer says that if everything was written down that he had done, the world couldn't even contain the number of books. So it's fitting that after 3 1/3 public ministry that he would end it by restoring sight to a blind man. Now, I know I've said this many times in my preaching, but that is one of the signs of the Messiah that was coming, was that he would give sight to blind. There were several other signs that the Jews were looking for, but that was one of them. That was a very miraculous thing. This is not something that normally happened. Restoring sight to blind people, that was not a common occurrence. And so when Christ comes on the scene and he's healing people that have been blind since birth, and even those that's become blind later on, but completely heals them where they can see everything, this is a clear and definite sign of who he really was, the very Messiah of the world. Well, as I was studying over this message, and I've, every time I've ever preached from here, two words keep appearing to me and coming out, and those two words are blind and faith. For some reason, it's almost like they're highlighted when I read it in my Bible, blind and faith. And I started looking at that little phrase there and wondering, really, you know, what would you define that as, blind faith? Well, if you go and see what man defines it as, man doesn't really define it very well. This is the definition that I found when I was studying this. It means belief without true understanding, perception, or discrimination. That doesn't really quite fit the blind faith of this man we find, blind Bartimaeus. This says that man's definition said without true understanding. You see, blind Bartimaeus had true understanding of who Christ was, this Jesus of Nazareth. The Bible said when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, what was it he called out? He said, "Jesus, thou son of David." So there was no question that Bartimaeus knew exactly who Christ was. And so I think I've got to disagree with man's opinion here and man's definition of blind faith and see what God says about it. Look back at our opening text, Mark 10 and 46. Mark 10 and 46. It says, "And they came to Jericho." They means Christ and his disciples. This whole account of Jesus' life is always following Christ and his disciples. And this is the point they're at right now. "They came to Jericho, and as he," this is Jesus, "went out of Jericho with his disciples," there it is, "they, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." Well, in our opening text here, we see a very vivid picture of the time and life of Jesus, walking on the Jericho Road. This is the place that you remember that Joshua, where they marched around the walls and they blew the trumpets and they shouted and the walls came tumbling down. The Bible says by faith the walls fell. That was in Hebrews 11:30. By faith the walls fell down. It's the same place that Jesus would meet that little short tax collector. Remember him? And he would come and climb up in a tree to see Jesus. And what happened? Jesus went to his house that day and sat with him, and that man got saved. How did he get saved? By faith. So every time we're seeing people that are being saved in the Bible, it's always by their faith. By their faith. Well, as Jesus is walking along this road, as he has done numerous times in the past, this large crowd of people are with him. Now, there's a few reasons. He has been performing many miracles around this time period. He has gained a large gathering of people that always follow him everywhere he goes. They're wanting to see a miracle. They're wanting to see people healed. And they're following him around, much like people do, the paparazzi. They follow around stars these days. Well, Jesus had his own paparazzi. But he had more than that. He had large crowds of people that followed him everywhere. But not only were they there because he was walking through, but they were all headed toward Jerusalem during the time of the Passover. The time of the Passover is the greatest time of year for all the Jews. They all came to the holy city to worship in the temple and to make sacrifices there that yearly time. Well, as they were making their way toward there, remember also, this is the final week before Jesus is crucified. He's going to go into Jerusalem. He's going to do some teaching, running people out of the temple, this and that. And then within a week's time, he'll be betrayed and arrested and, put on trial and crucified. So this is all happening that same week right before that. Well, there along the way as they're headed out of Jericho. Notice that's what the Bible said. Let's see. And they went out of Jericho, verse 46, as he went out. So he's already passed through the city and he's coming out of it. Well, at the cities, at the entrance and the exits, I guess if you were coming in the exit, it's the entrance there. But anyway, the gates of the city, there's one way you come in and a way you go out and vice versa. But at each gate, that's where the most people are going to be. And so if you had a problem like blind Bartimaeus, who could not work for a living, who relied on people to give him charity, usually he's begging for money sitting there. And he knows this is the place where most people are going to be passing in and out. And so it was natural that as you would go out of a gate of a city, there would be someone like Bartimaeus there begging for money. And that's what's happening here. All these people are coming through. And it was a common sight also to see blind people during that time period. It's said that one in four men in that particular area would become blind sometime in their life. Well, there's a few reasons for it. One cause of blindness was these ash heaps that they burned all the time. We have control over burning here in Knox County. You're not supposed to burn your garbage. We used to do that. We used to get big 55-gallon drums and fill it full of garbage and set it on fire and burn it, and it stink up the whole neighborhood. You're not supposed to do that. But that's similar to what they would do. They had these ash heaps that burnt constantly, and the smoke and the ashes would float through the air, and it would get in your eyes. Not only that, but remember, most of the land around there was sand. And so there's a lot of sand involved, and those bits of sand, which is like glass, would get in your eyes, and if you scratched around on your eye enough, you could cause yourself to go blind. It'd be like getting broken glass put in your eye and doing like this. And so a lot of people, there was a lot of blindness. Now, if you were born blind, which we don't really know here about Bartimaeus, how this occurred or anything like that, but if you were born blind, it was assumed that someone had sinned and you were paying for it. Some of the Jews even believed in reincarnation, believed that people did things in the past, were reincarnated, and then was born blind because of things that they did. Some people believe that their parents had sinned and that therefore their child was born blind. And so they looked down upon blind people in that day. It was assumed you were some kind of sinner. And that was just the mindset of the Jew. Even the disciples had that same mindset. If you remember when Jesus healed the other blind man as they were going into the temple, and they said, why is he this way? Why is he blind? Who sinned? He or his parents? And Jesus said, none of them did. This was done for the glory of God that he was blind. And so it was always looked down upon that you would be blind during that day. But it was common to see blind people. The name Bartimaeus here, old Bart, I don't know if that's how people that are named Bart today, I don't know if it's where they get their name or not, but it could be. Bartimaeus reveals something significant. The first part of it, Bar, means son, is what that name means. Bar, you've heard of Bar Jonas and Bar Jesus and Bar this and Bar that. That means the son, Bar. And then the last part of Timaeus, which told us it was his father's name was Timaeus. So the son of Timaeus. I would be called Bar James. My dad's name was James. So you could say, Bar James. Yeah. Byron, the son of James. Bar James, the son of James. And, Bartimaeus, if he's sitting here in the Bible, refers to him as blind Bartimaeus, because that's what he's known as. It's just like most people today, if there's something significant about a person, you may refer to them with whatever it is they're known for. The singer this, or her, singer him, or singer her, his, whatever. You understand what I'm saying. I'm getting tongue-tied. But you sometimes refer to people by what they're known for. He's known for being blind, so he's been blind for a long time. And by the way, I left this part out, but that name Timaeus, it actually means unclean or defiled. So I thought that was interesting. But here he is, he's blind. His very name means unclean and defiled. And he's begging. And listen, that's a picture of all of us. Before we're saved, we're nothing but blind. We sing a lot of times, I once was blind, but now I see. Meaning I used to be blind to the gospel. I used to be blind to Christ being my Savior. But now, since receiving Christ and believing in Him, I can see. Well, Bartimaeus is a picture of a lost person. And we'll talk more about that before we're finished. Look at verse 47. It says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, it was not an accident that Jesus passed by that way. This wasn't a circumstance or happenstance or good luck for, Bartimaeus. Well, you got lucky that Jesus passed. No, he didn't get lucky. Jesus passed by there for this reason, to see that Bartimaeus received his sight and was saved that day. He was saved. And so it wasn't an accident. You see, God is all-knowing, all-seeing, and he's all-loving. Well, it says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, Bartimaeus was blind, but he was not deaf. And, a lot of times when you lose one of your senses, your other ones gain a lot of more strength. So a lot of people that are blind, their hearing really is sensitive. Maybe your smell would be more sensitive if you couldn't see, like if I walk in the house and I smell bacon in the house, I could be blind as a bat and I know what bacon is, boy. But, his hearing is not got any problems, and he hears who this is. He's heard this name before, and he's heard other things about this man, Jesus. He's heard that he is the Messiah. That's why he calls him, thou son of David. That is the very phrase used for the Messiah to the Jew. And so this Bartimaeus, he knows exactly who Jesus is. And there's a lot of buzz going on. It says he began to cry out. Put yourself there in his shoes. He don't know what all's going on. He can't see it, but he can hear the large crowds. And no doubt, whenever a crowd's around, there's a lot of noise. People are talking and laughing and all this. And so it's a lot of racket. And so he has to cry out. If he wants to be heard above all these people, he's got to make himself heard. He can't find Jesus in the middle of this crowd. And so what does he do? He cries out, "Now, Jesus, thou Son of David." And no doubt he got everybody's attention, yelling out above the crowd. And look, sometimes we have to get that way. When you're in a desperate need, you've got to be heard. You know, there's a lot of times if you just come up and you're needing something urgent and you just don't make a big deal out of it and just kind of stay quiet about it, nobody takes you serious. But you start crying out loud about it, and then people start taking notice. Well, that's what's happened. Now, when Bartimaeus hears that name Jesus, he knows this is his chance. He's been waiting for such a chance. He's heard that Jesus can heal. Probably everybody that walked through that gate was talking about it. Did you hear what that Jesus did? He's, you know, there was a man that couldn't walk, and he all he did was go over and touch him. And then, sir, did you hear about that soldier's daughter that was dead, and he went to her house, and all he did was speak to her, and she rose from the dead? And so Bartimaeus, no doubt, has heard all these stories about Jesus, and he believes that he can heal him. He's got the faith in it. And so he does call him by that title, Son of David. And notice what he says. He says, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Normally he's hollering out, "I need money. Does anybody have any money? Could you give me some alms? Is there anything you can get? I'm hungry. I need food. But this time he yells out something different. "Have mercy on me." That word mercy is used 276 times in your King James Bible. And typically it's referring to the mercy of God. By definition, it means to help one afflicted or seeking aid. You may recall just after the children of Israel had worshipped a golden calf, Moses had been gone for 40 days, and they all got agitated, and they demanded Aaron make them something to worship. And so they melted down all their gold and made a golden calf out of it and started worshiping and said, "This calf brought us out of Egypt." Well, God, of course, saw it all, told Moses he's going to destroy all those people. Moses, being an intercessor, started pleading to God, "Have mercy on them, God, have mercy." And what did God say? He said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Now we know that because Moses interceded on behalf of the children of Israel, that God did have mercy on them. He didn't destroy all those people. But that's a symbol of God's mercy right there. It's not something that you deserve. It's like grace. It's unmerited favor. Mercy means you're gonna help someone even though they don't deserve it, and there's nothing really they can do to repay you for it. So Jesus placed a lot of emphasis on mercy. I was reading through the New Testament on all the different instances of the word mercy that's being used, and Jesus, most of the time, it's coming from him, talking about mercy. He even rebuked people that did not have mercy. He said this to the Pharisees. Listen to Matthew 23:23. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." And he starts listing those off. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Did you see that? Judgment, mercy, and faith. He tells the Pharisees those are the most important things, and you've omitted all those. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. And so he's telling them, look, you're real good about paying this little measly tithe over here of these herbs and things that anybody can do, but you're leaving completely out the most important things, which are judgment, mercy, and faith. And so mercy is one of those attributes that God places emphasis upon that we should have. We should have mercy. There is very little mercy on this earth today. People do something and there's no mercy for them. I mean, you're dead to me. I'm not giving you any mercy. In Jesus' own Sermon on the Mount, when he's talking there, we call it the Beatitudes. And he's describing the way that people would behave in his kingdom. And he said this in Matthew 5:7, "Blessed art the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So it's very important that we understand mercy is high in God's eyes. We are to have mercy. So Bartimaeus, he cries out, have mercy on me. I can't do anything on my own. I got to have some help. You're the only one that can help me. And really, that's the same plea that all sinners must make. Because we can't do it on our own. We can't save ourselves. We're completely helpless. And without being saved, we're hopeless. And so the only thing we can do is cry out for mercy from God. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You remember what the publican and the Pharisee went down to the temple to pray. And what was it that publican said? God, have mercy on me. He beat on his chest, couldn't even look up. He knew that he needed mercy because he was without. And so look at verse 48. It says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, this has always been disturbing to me, how the crowd tries to shut him up. They don't see anything in Bartimaeus that's worth anything. To them, he's worthless. The bum, the blind bum that sits at the gate, look, what is he trying to do? He's trying to disrupt everything. Does he not know how important Jesus is? Why in the world is he disrupting things and causing a distraction? He needs to shut up and go away. That's their thoughts. And so they tell him to stop. They said, hold your peace. It says they charged him. You hold your peace, Bartimaeus. Shut up. This is Jesus that's coming through here. Who do you think you are? He didn't let that stop him. The Bible says he cried out even the more. The same thing. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Look. He's not going to let anybody stand in his way. If you're lost today, don't let anybody stand in your way. There'll be people today to try to convince you not to get saved or to put it off to a later date. Satan certainly will do that. He'll convince you that, oh, you can get saved, but don't do it right now. You're too young. You don't want to be like your parents or your grandparents or those holy rollers out there that go to that church. You know, you don't need all that right now. You're young. Live it up. That's what Satan will try to convince you of. And if you continue to put it off, you don't know that one day your time will run out. We all are, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so we don't know when our time is. God's got his own timetable, and we don't know what it is. So we've all got an appointment with death. Yours could be young, it could be old, it could be middle-aged. And so if you ever feel convicted that you're lost and you need to be saved, don't let anybody convince you otherwise. You need to go, and today, the Bible says today, now is the time of salvation. So you need to get saved immediately. And so verse 49, the Bible says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. Boy, their attitude changed all of a sudden, didn't it? Now that they see that Jesus has interest in Bartimaeus, now suddenly they have interest in him. And so they come to him, oh, be of good cheer. You know, a while ago they were saying, shut up. Now they're saying, be of good cheer. He calleth for you. Yeah, a bunch of phonies is what they are. And so Jesus stood still. What does that mean? Blind Bartimaeus has Jesus' full, undivided attention. Jesus is not going to mess with anything else at this point right now. His focus is just like an arrow going straight to Bartimaeus. He's going to focus on him because this is the reason he's there anyway. And so he stands still. And, you know, men, great men on this earth would never stand still for anybody unless they were another great person. Yeah. No doubt if President Trump was standing out somewhere, he might shake my hand, but I guarantee you he's not going to stand still and give me his undivided attention. Neither will any of these others great men, these, you know, people that are looked up with a lot of prestige and power and stuff. They're not going to give you any a time of day unless they want something from you. But that's the way men are. But, you know, I thank God that he gives us his full undivided attention. Even though he runs and rules this entire world, He can still take time out for our individual needs. And he's interested in them. It's, you know, you can have many, many children. We've got three. I can give each one of my undivided attention and still love all three of them. And that's the way God is. He can give each person his undivided attention. And so here, Jesus, the creator of the world, the giver of life, the savior of men, the Lamb of God, the Rose of Sharon, the bright morning star, he stands still in front of this poor, defiled, blind beggar, Bartimaeus. I remember when he did the same thing for me in 1972. I was no better than blind Bartimaeus. Lost sinner, bound for hell, defiled. But he stood still for me. It says, and they call the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. That's always been funny to me, the way they subtly change their minds. All right, verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, this is Bartimaeus did this, he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Can you imagine how he's feeling right now? After being blind for who knows how long, his whole life, or however long he's been blind, he's not going to put this moment off. You know, some people might have froze up and said, well, maybe, you know, maybe I don't need to go. He's, are you really pointing at me? You know, no, he jumps up, cast away his garment. Why does he do that? Getting it out of the way. As we've explained before, the Jews, they wore an outer cloak. It was usually a robe of type with a belt around it. And so if they want to get somewhere and get somewhere quick, they take that outer cloak off and take off it, so they don't want to be hindered. Here, Bartimaeus does not want to be hindered from getting to God, to getting to Christ here. So he does what he cast off his garment. He rose and came to Jesus. Look, we can't let anything hinder us to go to Jesus. Don't you ever try to hinder anybody to go into Jesus. You know, there's people today, and this is one of the most upsetting. If it's never happened to you, you may not understand it. But we dealt with this one time. I was pastoring a church, and there was a young girl that wanted to be saved. And her mother tried to talk her out of it. Told her she didn't need to get saved. That she was too young and all this stuff. Try to prevent her. You don't know what you're doing. You don't understand it. Try to prevent her from getting saved. And that was horrible. And until you experience that, you may not understand it, but it is bad. Don't ever try to hinder anybody from getting saved. Even somebody that says that they've been saved and suddenly they realize that they wasn't or don't believe they were, don't try to hold them back. Don't try to talk them out of it. If they want to make another profession of faith or pray again and ask God to save them, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't try to hinder them. Well, Bartimaeus is not going to let anything hinder him from getting to Jesus. Now, how did he know where he was? He followed his voice. He followed his voice. The Bible says in John 10, 27 through 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Bartimaeus here has faith in who Christ is, that he is the Son of David. He believes in him. That's what that means. He believes in Jesus, and he follows his voice. He hears his voice. He's one of his sheep. He follows the voice of Christ, and he goes to him. Verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now that always seems a little bit of puzzling of why Jesus would ask him what he wants. Some people may say, well, I don't understand why he asked him what he wanted. Can he not tell he's blind? I mean, he's surely can tell. Probably everybody's told him. Does he not know? Why does he ask him that? Well, there's a reason for it. A lot of times you ask for things that are not your necessity. He could have said, well, I tell you, Jesus, I really need about $50. You know, I don't have any food at home. And look at my clothes. You know, I know people's told me that they're just nasty and disgusting. I don't know. I can't see them. But they're terrible. I need some help. I need just some little bit of charity, maybe a place to stay. He could have said all those things, but Jesus is trying to look to see exactly what it is he wants, and he tells him his need. You know, there's a lot of people today. I meet a lot of homeless people where I work downtown Knoxville. A lot of those are homeless, and they want to stay that way. They don't want a home. They want to continue begging for money, going to the subway and pleading for help with food, and sit outside and eat their food, and sleep behind the bushes or whatever it is they do, just scrounge through garbage cans. They want to stay that way. It's become their way of life. And so when you walk by and you may ask them, what can I do for you? What do you need? They're going to say something like, you got any change to spare? You know, I could use $5, or I could use this and use that. But their greatest need is they need help from being homeless. They need to fix their life. But they're not going to ask you to help them that way. And so they ask for the things that are really not the most necessary things. They may be needed at the time, but they're not the most necessary. Well, the most necessary thing for Bartimaeus is that he needs to see. And so that's what he tells him. He says, Lord, I might receive my sight. And so he's not looking for a temporary fix. He's looking for a permanent one. Verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Do you notice there was no healing time needed? He didn't have to go and, you know, wait a few days or put this salve on your eyes and, you know, rub it in three times a day or nothing like that. No, immediately by his faith, he's been made whole. It doesn't even say that Jesus touched his eyes or spit in them or rubbed mud in them like he did in some other people. No, immediately he said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And so he's immediately can see. That's the same thing as salvation. Your salvation is not this progressive building up to finally being saved. There's this little saying a lot of people use that I don't really care for. They say you got saved, you're being saved, and when you get to heaven, you'll be saved, finally be saved. You are saved immediately when you trust Jesus as your Savior. He saves you. You're justified before God at that point right there. No further action needed on your behalf. There wasn't any on your behalf to begin with, only faith in Christ. And so there's nothing you got to build up to and all this. Now, in our Christian walk, we do things to where we become more like Christ, or we're supposed to. And so we do that, but... if you get saved and you died the very minute after that, your home is heaven. That don't mean you've got to, you don't have to, when you get saved, you don't have to build up your ability to be saved. No, you're saved immediately. And that's what's happened to Bartimaeus. Immediately, he's healed. But notice what happened after he got healed. The Bible says, and follow Jesus in the way. Now, what would most people do that receive their sight? They won't go around and see everything. I need to go see my mom and dad. I need to go see my brothers and sisters, my friends. I need to see this and see that. I want to go get a mirror and look in the mirror. That's what most people would do, but the Bible says that Bartimaeus followed Jesus. He knew what he needed. He needed sight. As soon as he received it, what did he do? He followed Jesus in the way. And so Jesus extended his grace, his mercy, his healing power, and he gave sight to Bartimaeus only on his faith alone. Faith alone saved him. Now, in case you missed it, I want to tell you what this story is all about, and we're finished. Seven things. Bartimaeus represents the lost sinner. That's you and I. Before we got saved, we're Bartimaeus. We're blind. Secondly, a sinner must realize that he has a need that he cannot fix. You've got to realize you're lost, and in your lost condition, you cannot save yourself. It's impossible. Bill Gates, with all the money he's got, he can't buy his way into heaven. You know, people that do many wonderful works, they can't work their way into heaven. You got to come through Christ. Third, a sinner must hear about Jesus to be saved. We have to be saved through Christ and Christ alone. You can't get saved through worshiping nature or one of these other phony gods out there today. You're not going to get saved that way. It's all through Jesus Christ. So you must hear about Jesus being your Savior. Place your faith, your blind faith, in Christ. None of us here today has seen Christ at any time. Bartimaeus, after his eyes were open, he could actually see Christ. But before they were open, he did never see him. But he had the faith in him. We today, we can't see Christ, but we can have faith in him. And so blind faith, without seeing him, we believe. Fourth, we must call on Jesus to have mercy on us to be saved. Call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says. You don't call on the name of the president, or call on the name of the preacher, or call on the name of the deacon, or the Sunday school teacher, or your parents. You call on the name of Jesus. Jesus is the one that can save you. Fifth, Jesus, seeing this man's faith, made him whole again. It's simply by our faith. The Bible says it's by grace through faith that we're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when he sees our faith in him, he saves us. It's all his doing, by the way. He does it all. Salvation is all of the Lord. He enables salvation. He saves us. He keeps us. All of it is his doing. It's none of it's our doing. Sixth, the sinner is now a sinner saved by grace. He once was called blind Bartimaeus, but now he's just Bartimaeus. He's seeing Bartimaeus. While he still carries the same name, Bartimaeus, we still carry the same name. When we get saved, we're still that same person. And we still carry that old man and that old flesh along with us that's chained to us. But there is a new creature now. The Bible says we become new creatures in Christ. And so we are saved by grace and simply by our faith in, through his grace, and is given to us solely on our faith alone. Seventh and final one, a newly saved person, what do? They follow Christ. What did the Bible say about Bartimaeus? He followed Jesus in the way. What did Jesus say about his sheep? They hear my voice, he said. I know them and they follow me. In fact, you're going to find all through the Bible, you will never see in the Bible any sinner's prayer mentioned. There's no formula for a sinner's prayer. It's not going to say, you know, oh Lord, I'm praying you today to save me and all this. No, it says call on the name of the Lord. But it says that your salvation is based upon following Christ. All through the Bible is following Christ. That's what disciples do. They follow Christ. And so there we have it. A blind man saved by faith. What kind of faith? Blind faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is it? Things that's not seen. So it's by our faith that we get saved. We can't see him, but we believe in him. And by faith, we trust him. He realizes our faith in him. He saves us. All his doing. And so we are just like old blind Bartimaeus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message this morning. I pray, God, for those that's listened, whether here at the church or online. God, I pray if there's one today that has never had that faith in Christ to be saved, Lord, that today will be the day that you convict their heart, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, God. Show them their need for salvation. God, they can't do it on their own. Lord, it's simply by faith and your grace that we're saved. Help them with it, Father. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.